Hello, it's Robert Bathurst here. I was one of the first guests on My Time Capsule, and Mike has asked me to tell you that you can now listen to the podcast ad-free by subscribing to Acast Plus. Details of how to join are in the description of each episode. Mike says it's very reasonably priced. In fact, Mike says it's a bargain. And who am I to disagree, locked here in his cellar? Anyway, for a small subscription, Acast Plus, My Time Capsule, ad-free. Free. Unlike me.
Flexibility is great. That's why there's yoga. Flexibility for your insurance coverage is great too. That's why there's United Healthcare Insurance Plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, United Healthcare Insurance Plans offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage for medical, vision, dental, and more. One of these plans may be right for you if you're, say, between jobs, coming off your parents' plan, turning a side hustle into a full hustle, or even missed open enrollment. Want more flexibility? Find out more about United Healthcare Insurance Plans at uh1.com.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom, like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
Hello again, and welcome to My Time Capsule. My name's Mike Fenton Stevens, and My Time Capsule is the podcast that we've been doing for nearly 4 years now. In it, I ask people to tell me five things from their life that they wish they had in a time capsule. They pick four things that they love or cherish, and one thing that they wish they could bury in the ground and forget forever. My guest in this episode is the comedian Liam Withnail. Liam is an Edinburgh-based stand-up comedian, a Scottish Comedy Award winner and resident MC at the Monkey Barrel in Edinburgh. Liam has over 10 million TikTok and Instagram views. He's a regular guest on BBC Radio Scotland's Breaking the News and has also been on The Good, The Bad and The Unexpected. And of course he's been seen on Socially Distant with Susan Kalman. Liam is a writer for Scott Squad. His podcast, called Enjoy an Album, which he presents with the comedian Christopher MacArthur Boyd, is very popular, and in it they listen to the greatest albums of all time in order to compile a playlist of the best music ever. We talk about it in this podcast. Liam's Edinburgh Fringe shows have garnered a myriad of rave reviews, with his 2019 show, Homecoming, which you can watch on Spotify, winning the Amused Moose Award for Outstanding Show. He's performed at comedy clubs and festivals all over the UK and in Canada, Japan, Iceland and Australia. Liam's 2023 Edinburgh Fringe show, Chronic Boom, was a sellout success and received widespread critical acclaim, racking up 16 four- and five-star reviews, including from The Independent and The Times, making it one of the best-reviewed comedy shows of 2023. The show details the emotional story of Liam having to face up to a chronic illness and dealing with his new reality during a hospital stay. Liam will be taking the show on his debut UK tour this spring, which at the time of recording is 2024, and in fact always will be, whenever you listen to this. Makes sense? No. Anyway, details of the tour are in the link in the description of this episode. So here is the time capsule chat between Liam Withnail and me. Or if you want to be posh, Withnail and one. Enjoy!
The wonder of you!
Hey.
Hello, mate.
How are you doing?
Yes, very good, thank you. How are you?
I'm very good. You catch me singing along to The Wonder of You by Elvis Presley.
Oh, well, I actually didn't catch you, and I'm devastated that I missed out on that.
I know, it was a treat. I was just about to, I was just about to go for the big note.
Yeah. Oh, well, you still can. Don't let me stop you.
I really shouldn't. It would be embarrassing. I could feel it as I got to it. I thought, I'm never going to get here.
I was listening to a lot of Elvis over Christmas period, actually.
Yeah? Blue Christmas.
Yeah, well, he's got a whole Christmas album, hasn't he, that we put on a number of times.
Oh, right, has he? I didn't know. No, I knew. Yeah. I know. I'll have a blue.
There you go.
Blue Christmas. There you go. Everybody can do it. I am going to absolutely go through the whole of this podcast avoiding saying the term with Neil and I.
I mean,
just to save you the embarrassment of
not at all. That's quite all right.
Not another person doing that.
Well, you can if you want. It's quite all right. I'm happy to talk about it.
No, I'm not going to.
Okay.
What made you go up to Edinburgh then?
Well, I am from Dagenham. I don't know if you've spent much time there.
I do know it. I've not spent a lot of time there. Driven past it a few times, yeah.
Yeah, so, I mean, had you spent some time there, you would probably be aware of why I don't live there anymore. I found it quite a difficult place growing up, so as soon as I turned 18, I just wanted to get out and go somewhere else. Yeah. And I'd heard about the Edinburgh Festival and knew it was, I was a big comedy fan, so I just figured, well, this will be a place. So I literally just hopped on a plane and got there. My plan was to go to a few different places and see where I like the look of, but yeah. I fell in love with Edinburgh immediately and have been there ever since. It's 15 years ago.
Wow.
Longer.
Yes. And of course, there'd be accommodation because there'd be all those Scottish comedians coming down to London.
Well, yeah, I mean, this was before I did comedy as well. I mean, I ended up going to university there. I just wanted to live somewhere a bit different and got here and loved it and just stayed by accident, really.
Yeah, nice. It is a beautiful city, isn't it?
Yeah. And of course, the festival is here, which has been very fortunate for me as a working comic because the festival comes to me every year. You know, I don't have to worry about where am I going to live? Who am I going to stay with? What am I going to do? I know what I'm going to do. It's coming here and I better get to work.
Yeah. And unlike everybody else who lives in Edinburgh, you stay there. Everybody else goes, I'm going to rent my place out. This is a fortune.
Absolutely. I mean, which again means I've saved quite a lot of money over the years. My accommodation is my house. When I hear London comedians talking about paying $3,000 for accommodation for the month, I'm like, well,
yeah,
I wouldn't know about that.
Do you not have people calling you about a month before and going, Liam, how are you? I haven't spoken to you all year.
Yeah, one of my oldest friends. I always wonder how is that sofa of yours? I say, sling your hook, you're not coming in. No, we do actually have a spare room, which I normally do rent out to a comedian friend. But it has to be someone that I know very well and get on with because this isn't like a fun comedy flat share. It's my house with my wife and my dog. Yeah. I mean, I'm sure you've interviewed pretty much every comedian going at this point, so I'm sure you know what reprobates they are. So I try and keep it wholesome by bringing a pre-approved friend into the home.
Yes, I've done my show. I'm just about to go to bed now because my family get up in the morning. Yeah.
I'm actually looking to get older and older comics so that just comes naturally. I'll maybe see if Nicholas Parsons fancies the spare room next year.
I think he's dead.
Is he?
Isn't he?
I don't know.
Who knows? Well, that'll be interesting.
Well, it'd be a very good flatmate then.
Yeah, it wouldn't bother you at all. okay, so the idea of this podcast is that you tell me five things that you've chosen to put into a time capsule, and then we talk about them and see where it takes us. But we should talk about your tour first. We should talk about Chronic Boom and doing it at Edinburgh last year. That was a massive hit, wasn't it?
Yes, it was a big year for me. It was, I've done many fringes, so I've had many different types of fringe. I've had the fringe where, you're not selling as much as you'd like, or the show is, one year I did a sketch show with three other people and two of them were in a relationship and they broke up a day before the fringe. So, perfect. I've had the nightmare fringe, but this year was, a good fortune mixed with, a show that connected with people meant that it went really well. And now I'm lucky enough to get to tour it all over the country. So, yeah, really excited about that.
Yeah. It's an extraordinary out of something quite so awful that you can find comedy.
Yeah, I mean, it was a real question for me for quite a few months after. So I should explain, I spent some time in hospital in, it'll be 2022, altogether 2 weeks in hospital. I have a condition called ulcerative colitis, which is similar to Crohn's disease. It's a type of inflammatory bowel disease. Basically, your stomach effectively doesn't work the way it's supposed to. And yeah, I had a flare-up and ended up in hospital, got pretty serious, very nearly had to have surgery, didn't come to that. So out of that, knowing that I'm going to do the Fringe every year, whenever something like that happens, there's this sort of thing in your mind going, well, could this be something? It mm-hmm. took a while to get to the stage where I could chat about it in a funny way, because it wasn't very funny when it was happening, you know? It was a really scary thing.
I know you say that you almost got to the point of surgery, but that is always a possibility, isn't it? You're always thinking, well, if I don't watch myself or behave the right way, that could be exacerbated and could come on again.
Yeah, you're absolutely right. And actually could also be nothing to do with watching myself or behaving the right way. I mean, the nature of a chronic illness, particularly ulcerative colitis, is that flare-ups, you can somewhat damage control certain foods you don't eat, or mm-hmm. try not to put yourself under too much stress, just try and live well, basically. But similarly, you can just have a flare-up for no reason that they really know. So it is always a possibility, and that is something you have to just sort of get used to living with, this idea that at any point, really, you could have a flare-up, and that flare-up could be a bad one. And so that could mean having surgery and being fitted with a stoma. So that is a possibility, but the meds I'm on at the moment are pretty good, so it's going okay.
Yeah. How is that world going? I don't really know. I mean, I've got a friend whose mother had Crohn's disease for, I think, 50 years.
Yeah, so there's loads of different medicines, and the medicines I'm on at the moment are pretty new. So I think even in the last 10, 20 years, there's a lot of change in terms of living with Crohn's or colitis, because the new medicines that they're developing, you know, it's not a completely unknown disease. They have a lot of understanding about it. So the medicine I'm on at the moment is a sort of new type of medicine whereby the problem with my stomach is that I have an overactive immune system.
Right.
So they can give you pills that will basically bring down your immune system, and then your stomach doesn't have the issue, basically. Of course, the trade-off is then you have a weakened immune system and you're more likely to catch colds and coughs and flus. And I've had about 100 COVID jabs at this point. I think I work as a 5G tower. But but these medicines, they didn't really exist, you know, 5 or 10 years ago. And so it is constantly changing, and there could be more stuff coming around the corner. But at the moment, it's just I take one pill a day, and that tends to keep me covered, which I think is a lot different to, people who had it maybe 50 years ago.
Yeah, it's weird in life, isn't it, that you go through thinking, this is my course, and then suddenly it changes. That happens to lots of people, actually, but it always comes as a surprise.
Yeah, it's interesting. There's been sort of trends in Fringe shows over the last few years of comics discovering they've been diagnosed with ADHD or autism, and, you know, there's a sort of through line where they go, oh, suddenly my life made so much more sense. I found out I had this condition, and then this is the reason why I behave like this, why this happened. Whereas this is very different. This was like, no, I had my life that I thought was the path I was going on, and then all of a sudden have this big dramatic thing which changed quite a lot in a very short period of time, and how to live with it. So, I mean, it's been difficult, but also, you know, like everything in life, it's been a journey, and there is good that has come from it, for sure.
Yeah, good. I'm delighted for you. And I'm sure it must be difficult occasionally when you're doing an hour show to suddenly go, I wonder if I'm going to get through an hour without needing to say, excuse me a moment.
Well, yeah, I mean, that was one of the issues. We should clarify the you know, it's bowel disease, so one of the symptoms is regular you know, toilet attending, to put it politely. No, the Fringe, like whether or not I could actually do the Fringe was a genuine conversation that I had to have with my family and the venue, because whilst we did think we'd be able to get through an hour without running to the toilet, for sure, the overall stress of doing a show every day for a month, you know, we weren't sure 8 months beforehand whether or not I physically would be up for it. But luckily we managed to get in good health just in time for the festival. But you've actually sort of stumbled upon one of my first entries into the time capsule.
Oh, brilliant. Well, there we go. Talk long enough and we'll come to it. Yes. No, I do go on, sorry.
No, that's quite all right.
So what is it?
So this, I was given shortly after I came out of hospital, and it's called a radar key. And they give these keys to people with chronic illnesses or disabilities. It's basically a skeleton key that opens disabled toilets.
Oh, wow. I didn't know that existed.
Yeah, so if you go to a train station, or lots of businesses are signed up to it, Starbucks or McDonald's, they'll have disabled toilets that are locked to the general public, but there's a key that you can get that opens it. So if you're ever in an emergency situation, for example, you run into a Starbucks and say, can I use your toilet, and they say no, you say, well, we'll see about that. And it has saved the day for me more than once. Goodness gracious, it's been a real lifesaver. So just an incredibly little intuitive scheme that I think is really wonderful for a lot of people, because it's not just people with bowel disease who need emergency access to the toilet. You know, it's it comes to all sorts. And I'm sure there are some people without any diseases who could do with it now and then after a dodgy tikka masala. But that's been a lifesaver for me, and something that I always keep on me, just in case. And if I ever forget it, I know that's the day when I'm going to need it, you know?
It really is when you say to them, I promise I've got one at home. Please let me in. Yes, mate, they all say that. Yeah, come on.
Yeah,
go on queue with everyone else. what a brilliant idea, though. Do you know, I was completely unaware of that, but you would be, wouldn't you, unless you needed it.
Yeah, well, that's it. I mean, you kind of want to spread awareness about it so that people who might need it learn about it and can get it. But you don't want too many people to know about it. Otherwise, it becomes redundant. You know what I mean? So I've got my key. I can use the toilet. It'll say, no, there's a queue for that as well. You've got 8 people with bowel disease in front of you.
They've all got a key, mate. They're all standing there waving them at you. Get to the back of the queue. Yeah. I wonder why disabled toilets aren't all shut then.
I think it's more about they want to keep them closed from, you know, people they don't want hanging out in the toilets for whatever reason. So they're more common at train stations.
Right.
And airports are where you'll find the sort of the locked key places the most.
Yes. And when you find that nearly every baby changing facility in a toilet is basically covered in cocaine.
Yeah, well, exactly. Yeah, so that's what they're trying to avoid, I think, with the key. But, I mean, you could probably get a fair amount of coke on the key as well. So I don't know how much... I don't know how much that'll stop it.
No, you could design one of those things that I'm not sure if this is true, but apparently the Queen Mother had round her neck for many years, because fundamentally she was an it girl from the 1930s.
Yeah.
And it was rumoured, well, I could get sued for this, couldn't I? Yeah. But she had a thing round her neck. We pulled it out. There was a tiny little gold spoon.
Oh, yeah, I have seen those old things. Yeah, I mean, but then, you know, I don't think you get in too much trouble, because cocaine in the 1930s was very different to now, wasn't it? It was,
I think so,
something for the elites, you know? It was, and it was not so, it wasn't even illegal, I don't think. So, no, I'm willing to believe you that the Queen Mother was on cocaine.
A party animal. That's it. Probably what kept her going for all those years.
Chasing the corgis round.
Fantastic. Okay, Liam, let's put that key in as your first thing.
Just to say, if I'm putting this into a time capsule, I'm still going to have access to it permanently. I do need that key.
Now you get another key to open the time capsule.
Oh, good. Okay, right. Excellent.
Right, so what's number two?
The second one are these. I've actually got it with me. I'm going to put it on. I won't be able to hear you temporarily, but whilst I show you this.
Okay.
This is one of my most important things in my life, right? This is it's a headband.
Yes.
With a flat sort of speaker in each side. And it's so that you can listen to things comfortably in bed when you're trying to go to sleep.
Right.
And it has completely, honestly, I bought this a few years ago. This is actually not the first one I bought. I've been through about 10 of these now. This is one of the biggest revelations in my life that has made my life better and made me sleep better and feel more comfortable day to day.
So do you need music or something playing to get to sleep?
Yeah, and it's very common with people, I would say, like millennials and under. Most people I know, when you ask them, it's really interesting, actually. You ask people what they fall asleep to, and very few people sleep to nothing nowadays.
Wow.
Most people I know will put on something to go to sleep, whether that be the noise of the television or some music, or most cases a podcast. Or a lot of people listen to, you can get sound effects on your phone, so rain or wind or whatever. White Noise, my wife listens to White Noise.
Right. Yeah, great band.
So yeah, I listen to podcasts to help me sleep. It's crazy, without anything, with, you know, if I'm just lying there, just my own thoughts, I will be awake for hours, and I always had trouble sleeping.
Oh.
I always found it very difficult. But I'm putting on a podcast, I'm asleep within 10 minutes.
So is it Bluetooth?
Yeah, so right. Here's the issue.
Yeah.
My wife listens to white noise. I listen to podcasts. We can't listen to both things at once. Otherwise, it's a dreadful sleeping situation. So you've got to wear headphones in bed. Now, sleeping in headphones, very uncomfortable. I've got these big, as you can see, over-ear headphones. Then I wouldn't be able to roll over in the night.
No.
If you wear little in-ear headphones, I'm worried they'll slip and get stuck in the back of my brain. So I found these, and this is a sort of overhead headband with flat earphones in, so you can put them on. It's got Bluetooth to connect to your phone, and you can lie over in the night, and it doubles up as an eye mask as well. And if I go, I mean, I go away a lot for work and for gigging, and if mm-hmm. I go to a hotel and unpack my bag and I realise I've forgotten this, I am devastated. I'd rather forget my radar key when needing a toilet than forget my Sleepy Time headphones when needing a sleep. That's not their official name, Sleepy Time headphones.
Okay.
Just what I call them.
That's what I was going to Google. Sleepy Time headphones. Yeah, well, they sound fantastic. It's almost perfect for me. I have always fallen asleep to silence, but now right. I go to sleep with the very, very faint sound of my mother-in-law's radio, because my mother-in-law now lives in our house, and she likes to listen to the radio through the night, so she has it on. But because she's hard of hearing, it's on an incredible volume. You can hear it for streets away.
Yeah. Well, then, I mean, here's a compromise. Buy your mother-in-law one of these.
Well, I'm thinking that. the only problem is explaining to her what Bluetooth is.
Oh, yeah. I've tried to explain to older people how to use technology before, and I sympathise with how difficult that is, for sure.
Yeah.
But there are, I mean, this is actually a new version. There was one, the first one I got did have headphones that you would plug in.
Right.
But the issue with that is you would roll over in the night and the wire would wrap around your neck and you'd wake up trying to hang yourself, which is not ideal either.
If you've not met my mother-in-law, but that may be perfect. Yeah. I'm going to try it. I'm definitely going to try a pair. I will be Googling Sleepy Time headband.
The ones I have are called cozy phones. I spoke about this on stage during mm-hmm. the Fringe. I wrote a routine about it. And the amount of people I had message me online after to say they'd bought them and that they wear them at night and that it saved their life. So I'm really, I'm trying to get some sort of sponsorship deal going with the company. Maybe some branded Liam Withnail Sleepy Time headphones to sell at the merch stand after the tour, because this is not, you know, I'm not on the payroll, but I'd like to be.
Yeah, no, definitely. If you talked about it in the act, I'd be getting a phone out while you were on.
Absolutely. Also, talking about it in the act means that every time I buy one, it's tax deductible as well. You know, it's all part of work.
It's an investment. Well done. Oh, marvellous. Okay, well, I'm gonna do that, and then I'm going to struggle to say, no, look, it's really simple. You just press that button, and it will connect to it. I promise you. Please. Which button? That one. Don't.
Yeah. Well, listen, you're a saint for having your mother-in-law in your house. So congratulations there. You get a good feeling. You know, you can sleep on that good feeling, I'm sure.
Yeah, yeah. There are many times when I go, what the fuck did I do that for? But you're absolutely right. Yes, I'm in a situation where I can do it, I can afford to do it, and we had the room. And she's lucky. We're lucky.
Yeah, absolutely.
Because, I mean, maybe somebody will do it for me one day. And that's a pleasant thought.
Well, I'm doing it for Nicholas Parsons, so we're all helping each other out.
Indeed, you're a saint. Right, okay, that's fantastic. I love the idea of those. I'm going to definitely get one. Right, let's move on to number three. Okay, it's either cup of tea time, toilet break, or advertising section of this podcast. However you choose to spend it, we'll be back very soon.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
Want flexibility? Take yoga. Want flexibility with your health insurance? Check out United Healthcare Insurance Plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer flexible, budget-friendly medical, dental, and vision coverage that may be right for you. More at uh1.com.
Quality sleep is essential. That's why the Sleep Number Smart Bed is designed for your ever-evolving sleep needs. Need a bed that's firmer or softer on either side? Helps you sleep at a comfortable temperature? Sleep Number smart beds let you individualize your comfort, so you sleep better together. J.D. Power ranks Sleep Number number one in customer satisfaction with mattresses purchased in-store. And now, save 40% on the Sleep Number limited edition smart bed for a limited time. For J.D. Power 2023 award information, visit jdpower.com/awards. Only at Sleep Number stores or sleepnumber.com.
Welcome back to part two of My Time Capsule with me and Liam Withnail. Let's find out what else he'd like to have in his time capsule.
Number three, this has been, I'd say, a fairly recent discovery of mine. Within the last maybe year and a half or so, there's been another big change in my life that I want to preserve for future generations, and that is alcohol-free Guinness.
Oh, it's gorgeous, isn't it?
It's amazing. So I don't drink. I used to drink. Now I don't. And one thing, I haven't drank in about 8.5 years, and I used to love Guinness. Mm. And, well, to be honest, I loved all drinks, and that's one of the reasons I don't drink anymore. Yeah. But most of the drinks that I loved, I could somewhat replicate fairly easily. I remember when I gave up drinking, I really missed gin and tonic. Mm-hmm. And someone said to me, well, you know, actually, the tonic is the bit that is the tasty bit. And then I had tonic without gin. I thought, yeah, actually, that is kicking off most of the same taste buds. So I can still have a tonic water and, you know, have that nostalgic thing.
Yeah.
There's loads of alcohol-free beers, alcohol-free lagers. But the one I really missed was Guinness.
Yeah.
And then last year, they came out of alcohol-free Guinness. And it, to me, at the very least, tastes almost identical.
Yeah. If not better.
Would you say better? Wowee.
I mean, it's weird, isn't it? I would say slightly more malty.
Wow.
Which is amazing, isn't it, that they've done that?
Yeah, I found out how they make alcohol-free stuff, which is essentially they make it the same way, but then they freeze it, and then the freezing process kills the alcohol inside. Yeah. So they've obviously just dedicated a big part of their factory to making alcohol-free, so that's why it tastes the same. And just having, I mean, I used to love the ritual of pouring a Guinness and waiting and letting it settle and then putting the last bit in and then having a big sip. So, no, this has been a big game changer in my life. I don't drink alcohol-free beers very often. I'll normally have one maybe if I'm watching the football or if I'm out with friends. I might have one or two. But when that came, it changed my life. And I found in Brighton, the only pub in the UK that has alcohol-free Guinness on tap.
Oh, brilliant. Where is it?
It's, I'll have to get back to you on that one. I'm not a Brighton native, but there is a bar that is actually an alcohol-free bar, which is a very Brighton thing.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's near the beachfront at some point, but if you put an alcohol-free bar Brighton, you'll be able to find it on Google once you've bought your Sleepy Time headphones, giving you a to-do list of internet things. But it's been a big one for me. Even when I first gave up drinking, the options of alcohol-free beer was very limited.
Yeah.
It was a few big brands kind of had some, and they were all a bit naff and a bit gross.
Mm.
And over the last few years, there's been an explosion.
Yes. And some of them are definitely better than the beers they make, I think.
Yeah.
The small breweries that are now doing them, it's amazing. I didn't know that they took the alcohol out. I know they de-alcoholized the beer.
Yeah.
But I didn't know it was just freezing. So, in fact, buying ice-cold Guinness, it's halfway there, isn't it?
Guinness, but extra cold. Well, that's it. When you wanted to take it easy, just drink Guinness extra cold and you're on your way. It's been great. And also, because it's so good as well, I feel like the sort of slight stigma attached to having alcohol-free has really changed as well. When I first was off the drink, then going into a bar with mates and having an alcohol-free would, you know, you'd get a few comments. But now so many people do it that no one really bats an eyelid if you order alcohol-free, particularly when they taste as nice. And then people try the Guinness and they go, bloody hell, that's really good.
Yes, they do. They always do. Because everybody expects it to taste, but in a way, like Caliber or something.
Yeah.
Which was just not beer, really.
I guess it's the same way that, I don't know, your vegan food or whatever has gone in the last sort of decade, in that people are used to having stuff and it being a bit, that's not very nice.
Mm.
But now everything is on par, if not better, than the original thing. So it's much easier to do. So yeah, that's a big one for me, to go in the time capsule.
Fantastic. I'll join you. And if you're performing down in Brighton, which I think you are on your tour, aren't you?
Yes.
If I can get along, I shall find that bar. I'm going to, absolutely, I can't wait. Brilliant. Okay, we've done three. Fantastic.
We've got one more and then a different time capsule for the bad stuff that gets put into a rocket ship and directed towards the moon. My last one is, I haven't got them all, but is my record collection.
Right.
So I have my own podcast, and it's a music podcast that mm-hmm. I do with my friend, the comedian Christopher MacArthur Boyd. And
Enjoy an Album, it's called, isn't it?
That's right.
Yes.
We started off using the list of Rolling Stone 100 Greatest Albums of All Time,
mm-hmm.
and we were listening to one a week, going down from, 500 Greatest Albums of All Time, making our way from 500 down to one. But we found the list a little bit dogmatic.
Yeah.
So in the end, we abandoned that and just started choosing different albums, different reasons. Meant we could cover new stuff and different stuff and more interesting stuff.
Yeah.
So over the course of the last 5 years, I have amassed, I reckon I've got about 100 records now. So it's not a giant collection, mm-hmm. but it's, you know, it's not small. And they bring me so much joy. They're really one of the constants in my life. Everywhere I go, I like to go to a record shop and have a little look around. I find them to be just really beautiful, interesting places, and so there's a few in my collection that I would consider to be like some of my prized items.
Right.
And so that's why I've chosen them, because they bring me a lot of joy.
Yes. And did you deliberately, when you started it, say we're going to listen to these as albums? On vinyl, in fact.
Oh, no, not as such, because that would have been very difficult and expensive. and on that list, you know, in the sort of top 50 of that list, there are a lot of your classics that you'd be able to pick up in any record shop, your mm-hmm. Velvet Underground and your Beatles and all that. But further down the list, there's a lot of stuff that I'd never heard of, and it's a little bit more niche.
Yes.
So we don't listen to them all on vinyl. If I really did like one, then I would buy it on vinyl after. Mm. But my collection far outgoes the list that we were covering, and now it's just a series of different albums that I love and I'm interested in.
Right. And which ones particularly?
So this is a recent one I've bought that's become one of my new favourites. And it is a Motown box set from 1970, Motown Chart Busters. It's got 9 records in it, and it's every charting Motown song for 20 years. So it's got your Four Tops, your Smokey Robinson, your Jackson 5, your Diana Ross, the Supremes, Marvin Gaye. So this is my current go-to. It's this beautiful old box, and it's got all this amazing old sort of late 70s, early 80s artwork in there.
Incredible.
This is my centerpiece, my dinner party centerpiece. Not that I have dinner parties, but this is my go-to. You know, I love this. This is my sort of my talking point. There's a few others. I'm a bit of a sucker for like coloured vinyl and stuff. So I have there's an album by The Flaming Lips that I have on picture disc, which
beautiful.
I absolutely love. The Flaming Lips, Yoshimi Battles the Pink Robots from the mid-90s. Mm. I have a Donna Summer picture disc as well. This was released for Pride Month, so it's a picture disc with the Pride colours on it. And last week I just picked up an Amy Winehouse picture disc as well. So
fantastic.
Picture discs are a little bit novelty and a little bit cheesy, but I'm a real sucker for them. Most of my other vinyls are coloured, at least, but those are my picture discs, and I just loved them. When I was growing up, my dad still had a record player, but he didn't really use it. So for me, it strangely is like a sort of newish thing.
Yeah.
You know, growing up, we had tapes were my first things that I bought, and then it was CDs,
mm-hmm.
and then MP3s. So, you know, it's obviously gone full circle back to records. But particularly when I know that artists are getting such little money from Spotify, and when everything is online, I think it's so special to have like physical media that you can touch and play. And the act of putting a record onto a record player and putting the needle down and hearing the slight crackle, and you know, there's a nice it's like the Guinness, you know, it's there's a ritual to it, which I think is really special and would be easy to forget about.
Once you put an album on, in a way it seems strange not to listen through to the one side of it, doesn't it?
Yeah, and I think that's kind of lost as well, isn't it, with Spotify and YouTube, in that
mm-hmm.
people just put on singles and playlists, and whereas the actual act of listening to an album all the way through, I mean, something that an artist has made a certain way. This is the order of tracks that this should be listened to. And yeah, I think it's great to actually sit and listen and really take that in.
Yeah. And people put tiny little things on albums that you would never hear on Spotify. You would never listen to it. So the Beatles quite often would have a little bit of conversation or something before a song started.
Yeah, you also have the locked grooves as well on some albums, which I always love. That last groove of a vinyl just not allowing the needle to come off. So there's a Beatles album that has that, I think, that it will just spin forever, which I think is really amazing.
Yeah, yeah, with that little click.
Yeah.
It's hypnotic, isn't it? Now, that would send me to sleep. There we are.
Yes. Well, maybe we need to get the vinyl player out.
Well, for the first time, vinyl, I read, the vinyl sales have outsold CD sales.
Yeah, I could believe it because I've actually noticed there's new vinyl shops opening, which must be fairly new as well. I mean, I remember, you know, about 10 years ago hearing about record shops closing every day. But, you know, there's been two or three in Edinburgh recently that have opened, which I think is remarkable, isn't it?
Because
I mean, my dad actually, when I grew up, had his vinyl player, which he didn't play. And then within the last few years has bought a new one and returned to it himself. Brilliant. So, yeah, there is definitely, I think it's a physical media thing, isn't it? It's there's an urge to have that. And it kind of works as kind of, you know, decoration as well, doesn't it? It's something cool to have in your house.
Yeah, yeah, I would really quite like to have a radiogram.
Wow.
Don't you think? It's got a record player built into it.
Yeah.
And a cupboard where you kept the albums. And then you could also tune in the radio.
Do you know what? I think you can do that. You're saying you want that? I think you should. I think it's possible to.
Yeah, yeah, you're right.
Yeah, yeah. Move that mother-in-law out of the spare room and put it in there.
Turn it into a disco. Fantastic. She might like that.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, I'm going to let you put your entire record collection in there.
Great.
And so you have access to it forever, for as long as you like.
Wonderful.
Lovely.
And other people do as well, presumably.
I suppose so, if they find it after you're gone.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
They'll look through it and go, wow, this is eclectic.
Who is this guy? He has terrible taste in music.
Wonderful. Okay, Liam, so just the thing that you'd like to get rid of.
Yeah, so this is, my dad has had a camcorder. Mm-hmm. Which a couple of years ago we sort of found in a cupboard somewhere, and we had all these videos, which I took to get digitized so that I could watch them all.
Yeah,
because we had no tape player or anything like that.
Are they the mini sort of videos?
Yeah, yeah. There were those mini videos you used to plug into a camcorder, and on it we found footage of me, aged 8 years old, performing stand-up comedy at Butlins.
Wow.
Or maybe it was a Haven. It was a Haven holiday camp, actually.
Yeah.
In a talent competition. And this footage is what I would like removed from history.
Are you basically Jim Davidson?
I'm 7 years old. I've got a bowl cut. I've got a huge gap in my teeth. And I'm on stage in some holiday camp reading a list of my dad's jokes. And it's pretty mortifying. So yeah. If you can arrange for that to be deleted, then I'd be delighted.
Yes. Do you remember any of the jokes?
It was things that wouldn't even make sense. There was one that was, which I'd never heard people use as expression, so it doesn't work now. But my dad's Irish, and he used to call horses the Gee-Gees.
Yes.
I don't know if you've ever heard that.
Yeah.
So he'd say, I would say, what's a Gee-Gee? A horse. What's an E-Gee-Gee? An egg.
That's quite a good joke.
That's the standard that we're talking about.
That's
here.
All right.
Well, if you like that, then I've got a recording to sell you.
Okay. Well, I think we're going to bring back the selling of DVDs. It's going to make a fortune. I stayed at a Haven holiday park quite recently.
Wow.
Isn't that interesting? Yeah.
I bet that's a kind of a portal back to a different time period, I imagine.
It really was. Although we stayed in a caravan. I only stayed for the night. I didn't go on holiday. I was performing somewhere and we couldn't find a hotel. And so we booked a caravan at a Haven place. And the caravans are fantastic.
Yeah, I guess they would have to be, right?
Yeah. Apart from, I was the only one who ended up sleeping in a single bed. And it was a about a foot wide.
Oh, well, for a kid, maybe.
Yeah, I think so.
I actually did perform at Butlin's recently.
Right.
Within the last couple of years,
mm-hmm.
because they now have at these holiday camps sort of adult weekends.
Yeah.
When I say adult weekends, I don't mean in a sexual way, although I'm sure that does happen. But they have, like, you know, music festivals and stuff at mm-hmm. Butlin's. So they had this, it was like a noughties throwback weekend. So it was a bunch of bands that were big in the noughties, boy yeah. bands, cheesy music. So Boyzone, or not Boyzone, there were some members of Boyzone, there were some members of Westlife, and they formed a super group called Boys Life. And they were the headline act.
And the rest of them were on tour as Westzone.
Yeah, exactly. And they had a comedy show at midday on the Sunday, which was the third day. So as you can imagine, very sleepy, docile mm-hmm. festival goers, which actually made for a really pleasant gig because yeah. I was rather expecting them to be all lunatics. But no, I have been to a Butlin's recently, but it does feel like, you know, the caravan's all been upgraded, but there's a lot of stuff here that hasn't really been looked at since 1987.
Yeah, yeah, I think you're right. Or maybe even further back than that. Yes. And you go to somewhere that you went to as a child, for me, because I have these happy memories of going to holiday camps when I was a kid. So I've occasionally popped along to see if the place is still there, if I've been on tour. And I've visited one or two where I walked in and gone, this is exactly the same swimming pool.
Yeah, yeah. It's the same water.
Yeah, probably. That's the same Veruca pad. That was there before.
Yeah. I went to a lot of holiday camps when I was younger, and it does. I think I want to try and keep it as mostly a warm, nostalgic memory. I don't think I want to go back and see. I don't want to see it in the grim light of adult dayhood, you know?
No, you're wise. Fantastic. Yes, well, I will take that performance. Although I'm loath to deprive the world of it, but I will for your sake.
For my own personal journey.
Yeah, yes. Yeah,
thank
yeah,
you.
Yeah.
Thank you for doing that. I feel lighter already.
Fantastic. Liam, I hope the tour has enormous success, and I hope you have a fantastic year.
Thank you so much. What a delight it's been to talk to you, and thanks a lot. And do let me know if you plan to come to Brighton. Absolutely, get in touch, and I'll maybe see you there.
Yeah, absolutely. Thanks, mate.
Cheers. Okay, bye-bye.
You have been listening to My Time Capsule with me, Mike Fenton-Stevens, and my lovely guest, Liam Withnail. I hope you had fun listening, and like me, you learned something useful, like the fact that there's a pub in Brighton that has Guinness 0% on draft. Now, that is a useful thing, because it means you can drive there, and then you can drive home again. Do subscribe to this podcast, and then rate it and leave a comment or review, depending on which podcast provider you listen on. And don't forget, you can listen to it without ads if you subscribe to Acast Plus. Details in the description of this podcast. My Time Capsule and I are both on several social media sites. If you want to follow us, we're happy for you to get in touch, of course, through those sites with any questions you have. Or you can email us on mytimecapsulepodcast@gmail.com. You can listen to the Pass the Peas music composed theme tune on Spotify. John Fenton Stevens produced this podcast, which is why it sounds a lot better than if I'd been in charge. It was a cast-off production for Acast. Of course, if you've ever seen John and know that he's my son, you'll wonder why he doesn't really look like me. Well, he got his looks from my wife's side of the family, lucky devil. I, of course, got my looks from my father. He was a plastic surgeon. Bye.
Cool fact, a crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Also, you can get health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. UnitedHealthcare short-term insurance plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage for you. Learn more at uh1.com. Normally, being a little extra might be a bit much, but not when it comes to healthcare. That's why UnitedHealthcare's Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, supplement your primary plan so you manage out-of-pocket costs. Learn more at uh1.com.